Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, but before I introduce the other guys, I'd like to apologize for last week. It sounded like the Statesman was standing on the train platform telling us what time all the trains were coming in, but in fact, we just had a bit of technical issues, which I think we have resolved now. And to talk a little bit more is Stevie Fizz. Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Jono. One of our listeners tweeted in and said he was from another universe where chips are acceptable under a Palmer. And I don't want to live in that universe.
Neither do I, but...
It's been a big week, though, Jono. It has been a big week. We put out the Twitter poll last week. Who could eat more dumplings? People thought you could.
People thought I could.
People were wrong. Don't even try.
How was that last dumpling you ate there, Steve?
Yeah, it wasn't great. It was painful. Didn't feel great about it.
In news today, the AFL has finally made a decision on the Brownlow, with the AFL awarding Trent Cotchin and Sam Mitchell Brownlow medals after Joe Watson walked in B-grade action movie style, slamming it on the Gil McLachlan's desk with his gun and badge and saying, "Up yours, Gil." And also Scotty Thompson runners up.
Was Joe Watson wearing his feminist hat when he did that? Does that take away from it?
His barista hat.
Baristas don't have hats.
Don't they wear berets?
Hey? Berets?
I don't know. What? I'm not hipster.
What
hip
and world
trendy.
Do you live? Do you drink coffee?
Instant, yeah.
My God.
I'm not paying $5 for a cup of coffee.
What if Joe Watson served it?
Probably throw it in his face.
Man, so much Joe Watson hate.
Not Joe Watson hate. It's association with Essendon. Yeah. But also, Gil McLachlan's come out and said Lachie Whitfield will get a 6-month ban, so we will not see him for the first 8 weeks of the 2017 AFL season, while Gubby Allen and Craig Lambert will be handed 12-month suspensions. So you'd think Gubby Allen would no longer be working for Collingwood.
It was really handy of them to let Gubby Allen stay there for trade period, don't you think?
Very handy.
I think Gubby Allen will be straight back in, but man, Lachie Whitfield missing 8 matches. Wow, what a slap on the wrist that is.
Big slap on the wrist.
How do you feel, Essendon guys?
Pardon?
How does the Essendon guys feel? They've all tested positive the same amount of times.
Yes, that's true. Good advice, bad advice. But also breaking today, Clayton Oliver has joined the Luke Hodge drink driving school. I'm not sure what he's actually blown, but take
clean,
that as you
clean,
will.
Clean show, John. Clean show.
Take that as you will, listeners. But the police have already handed him his penalties, but the club are still determining what to hand him down. But if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can head over to Twitter, where we are at the Draft Doctors, or head over to Facebook, search us there, and hit the like button. Or you can drop us an email, where we are thedraftdoctors@gmail.com. But on today's show, we are talking who is our number one player in total points scored for the 2017 season. We're going to be talking out clear favourites, who we think is going to be number one, and then we're going to throw in a couple of smokies who could take the mantle next year.
Yeah, I mean, who had Zach Merritt number one last year for Dream Team?
No one.
So,
and then later in the show, we're just going to do a quick talk, a bit of a round table discussion on when to draft a ruck and what position to draft them. So a few little tips and tricks as well to go along the way. But to start it off, Steve, I'm with my number one player. Oh, I'm going to be talking Supercoach for my players. Statesman will be talking Dream Team. And you, Steve, are going to be somewhere in the middle.
No, either no idea or I just get it.
Just swinging for the fences?
Just bang on or just whiff.
I'm hoping whiff because...
What, we need fodder for next year's...
Yes, we do.
Show?
But my best chance of being number one... Probably never heard of this guy, but his name's Patrick Dangerfield. He's the reigning Brownlow medalist. He scored 2,900 Supercoach points last year at an average of 131. That was an increase from his 2015 season by 12. He had a top score of 229, five games over 150, and that including the 229. He also had seven games over 130, missing the ton four times, but two of those games were scores of 99. He's going to be 27 next year, well in his prime. He's barely had a long-term injury or soft tissue injury, so he's quite healthy in a team that made the preliminary finals. They love to feed him the ball. As we saw, he got like 700 possessions one game. Takes contested marks, kicks goals. Going to be hard to see anyone taking the mantle off him.
Yeah, it's it's pretty, you know, it's a pretty obvious choice. But, I mean, it's hard to argue, Jono. I mean, there's not much. I can't argue against it unless I thought someone was going to explode this year. Because, you know, they'll often say, oh, they need to get more guys involved in the midfield. Well, when they put danger forward, they kick it at him and he takes every contested mark and then kicks the goal. It's unbelievable. He's just so fantastic. It's really hard to see a drop-off, but even if he dropped a few points, as long as he plays 22 games, we can't project injury.
Well, he's about 250, 300 clear of the next player, which is Max Gawn in Supercoach. So
it's hard to argue. I mean, what are your thoughts, Statesman?
Yeah, I have no argument. Dangerfield is clearly number one, especially when you're talking Supercoach. I think four of the last 5 years, he's averaged over 110 in Supercoach. In Dream Team, he's a little bit more risky. That's certainly an outlier season, averaging 118 and only twice before going over the ton. One was a 101 and one was a 106. But injuries are the only thing I can think can stop Patrick Dangerfield leading Supercoach. So good pick, Jono.
And I believe your next statement with Lachie Neale.
Yes. Well, thanks for disclosing who I'm picking, Jono. I do really appreciate that. I really need those prompts in life. I've gone Lachie Neale to surprise to everyone. But I decided to pick someone in Dream Team that I believe was on the rise. His last three seasons in Dream Team average 82, 101, and last year he did Nelson, 111.1 was his average in Dream Team. Last year he became the main man, and the major difference with his stats was a major increase in hand passes. Now, I take that as the midfield were under a fair bit of pressure. Their stocks were low. There was a lot of injuries. So he was the main man in the midfield getting the footy, but had to farm it out to the outside. In previous years, he was actually getting more outside, a lot more kicks per handball ratio, and was also taking a lot more marks. I think that part of his game will come back, as well as his advancement, seeing he's 23 years of age next year, that he is developing into one of those very reliable major gatherers of the football. To me, Lachie Neale, this year, number one in possessions for the competition, and I believe he'll be number one in Dream Team points for the year as he will just continue to grow. And I think he's one of those that'll be a true safe bet, and I think he's going to be in the top three in Dream Team. Maybe not have the highest ceiling, but I think his consistency would build that he'll average 110 plus for the next 5 years.
Lachie Neale, I mean, he completely broke out this year, and I think it's a great pick. I've got two concerns, Statesman, and one, you brought it up yourself, the kick to handball ratio, obviously was a lot more inside, and his possessions went out up by six a game, and they were all handballs. So if he's going to be inside and the volume drops a little bit, like that, like whether the scoring will come down a little bit just because his kick-to-handball ratio is a little bit bad. Obviously, we know handballs are worth a little bit less. And the other thing is, too, you got Nathan Fyfe back. You got Harley Bunnell. I just wonder if the volume is going to be there. What do you think about that?
I think the volume will be there, and basically because he'll be the one constant in the midfield. Fife and Bunnell will swap on ball, and one of them will be always deep forward, so be that goal-kicking option. It's not as if they've got a Nick Riewoldt deep full forward. They're just going to need those smart mid and smalls to be the ones kicking the goals, working off their young forward line. And I think Lachie Neale will actually find, once that midfield improves and the team gets better, which I don't think they're going to have another year like they had this year, that actually his kick-to-handball ratio will improve, which was the indication from all of his five other seasons. And I think you'll actually find that he'll actually start getting a bit more of the outside ball as well. So a bit more of the mark kick plus 6 points. And I think Lachie Neale in a bad team gets 110 just because he's progressing as a footballer. Once his team gets better, he's going to score more. Safe as houses.
Safe as houses, I like that. No, I've got to totally agree with you there, Statesman. I've both put up some pretty good arguments, but got to go to the Statesman. I agree. Bunnell and Fife will go forward and help that young forward develop. And as Statesman just said, Neale will be that constant in the midfield being fed the ball, I would imagine.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, look, I'm not going to argue, and I think he's a... If you think he's going to be number one pick, you're probably going to get him at the back end of the round one, maybe even the start of round two in your drafts.
I can see him being a top 10 pick. That's
so, I mean, that certainly creates a hell of a lot of value if that's the case. I just, personally, I'm not convinced the volume remains, but, man, it's hard to argue with the Statesman. Like, there's some good points. I mean, they also brought in some outside players. They brought in Brad Hill. They've got Steve Hill there. Michael Walters, the GOAT, my favourite player.
GOAT.
Hey, Statesman, you might not be aware, Michael Walters is my favourite player to watch in the AFL. Absolutely love watching Michael Walters play. It's going to be, man, if he stays in the forward 50, it's going to be fun watching him carve up teams and score 60 points doing it.
Well, well,
no. I think you'll find Lachie Neale will actually stay in the top three. As I say, the ceiling's not there. So obviously a player you're going to mention next, if he is on the park for the same amount of games as Lachie Neale, I'll back him in to get the same amount of points if he's given a midfield role. But Lachie's just going to be there. He's going to be the new Dependleberry.
Yeah, because he's too short to go forward and take a contested mark.
Whoa. Did you want to spoil my bloke, Jono?
No, Steve, you go ahead. And
I can have the big reveal.
You can have the big reveal, yeah.
All right, my number one overall points scorer is Tom Rockliffe. Injury is the only thing that can stop Tom Rockliffe. He is a machine when he's on the park. He really has only had the one incredible monster season where he went over 130 in both forms from an average standpoint. Last year, 116 Dream Team, 111 Supercoach averages, and that included two games where he got injured and scored in the 40s.
Wow.
He did manage to play. Look, I feel Tom Rockliffe. I feel like maybe they've got on top of these injuries. They've said they understand it's a back-related hamstring. Obviously, we've seen that ruin careers.
Yeah.
But I mean, he got out there on Scott Gumbleton. He got out there on the last 12 games and just 133 average in Dream Team, 125 in Supercoach. When he's out there, he's as good as it gets. Yeah, Statesman, what did you you wanted to bring up?
You mentioned there's one concern that's going to get in his way, which was injury. I need you to discuss two other things. Firstly, his position in the side, is it safe? Because it seems to me the rhetoric says he's on the outer. Although he's the standing captain, there was question marks whether he keeps the leadership or stays in the leadership team. He was on the trade table, was shopping himself around. Is he actually going to get in the team? And secondly, if he gets in the team, is he going to be plonked forward as a goal-kicking option for him and not in the midfield?
I honestly think they'll get rid of the captaincy for him, and that'll be much better for him because He doesn't have to look after a bunch of wetback little snot-nosed kids who would think they're entitled to everything. You can just play his football, rack up 40 disposals each game, 140 points in both formats. We've seen him go forward and as that mid-forward before, but I don't think they're going to play him like that next year.
Oh, well, look, guys, I still had more points to make, believe it or not. He got caught smoking a cigar on social media, and people called him out. I'm sorry, but if you're smoking a cigar, I want you in my team. Dane Rampey, we know he loves the cigs. I want that guy in my back line.
Shame you just can't get Jack Wilshere in the team.
Look, we can't predict what the new coach is going to do. And I understand there's some rhetoric around what losing the captaincy will do, whether he stay. I don't care. You're captain or not. He just goes out there. And the one thing he does, he tackles.
Yep.
He tackles and gets the ball. Tackles are very
underrated.
Repeatable. No, they're very repeatable. The good tacklers, they don't drop off in tackles. That you see it year in, year out. Whatever, like marks can go up and down, possessions can go up and down in terms of game style. Tackles repeat and repeat every year. I think he goes out there. He wants a big contract. I think he blows it up. I just have no issues. The injury is the concern. So if you, I know Johnny, you love to play it. You're a cautious cat. Which is fine, and that's fine. But I feel like Tom Rockliffe can outscore everyone, especially in Dream Team, by so much. Even if he missed a game, he would still finish number one.
And that's the thing about Brisbane; they're always chasing the ball, and so Tom Rockliffe will get those tackles.
I feel like. One thing about new coaches, I feel like if look, when I've coached bowls and been involved in sports, you want to win. If you're new, you want to win. So if that means you put your best players on the ball. I guess there is a concern that maybe he spends some time forward, but when he plays forward, his forward pressure is amazing and he kicks goals. Like it's I guess that takes away from his 130, but we haven't seen much of Dane Beams. Dane Zorko obviously had a fantastic year. So
Hanley gone.
Hanley's gone as well. I think that's good for his football. I don't think that's a bad thing.
Because they're still going to tag Daniel Rich.
That's so funny.
Yes.
So funny. Anyway, that's I feel like Tom Rockliffe can finish number one in both formats.
Yes, Statesman.
And I would say at a drop of a heartbeat, I'll be picking up Tom Rockliffe. Even if I get number one pick, it'll be very hard not to select him.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. We're going to move on.
There's so much upside.
That's the thing. I mean, like, in the back half of this, the last 12, didn't miss a game, 133, and that included a 200, a couple of 160s.
Just going to stay away from Sam Day's knee. Was it Stephen May? When he got knocked down, like, the first 30 seconds.
Was that 2 years ago?
I can't remember.
That was 2 years ago. And I got a zero against you, and it cost me the game. God damn it.
But moving on now to our smoky picks, who we think can take that number one mantle from these players. I'm going to bring in my bulldog love here and suggest Marcus Bontempelli. Had a pretty good year in Supercoach terms, scoring 23.70 overall with an average of 108. He had a top score of 149, so that ceiling's there, which is good. Only the 13 tons in 2016. Got the scoring potential to be number one. He's 21 years old coming into next year. Not even his prime. Steve?
Yeah, look, obviously choosing Supercoach... Smoky, and fair enough, Marcus Bontempelli. I'll give you an interesting stat, Jono. Marcus Bontempelli played all 26 games that the Bulldogs played last year. How many times do you think he got 30 disposals?
I'm going to say not many.
Four.
There you go.
I can't... Like, I mean, you know, we all love the Bont. We think he's fantastic. Love watching him play. I don't think the volume's there.
Hence my next point. We'll need to increase possessions and goals. But he seems to be that player like Nick Natanui. Can have 4 disposals and 15 hitouts, or Cyril, 15 disposals and 2 goals and still score 140. Bont just seems to be that player. how they score him. So if he increases those possessions, then surely those scores go up. And reigning champions, still a very young team, surely they get better and scores increase again.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's the... Yeah, he can score big, but we've also seen him score
60, 70.
And he seems happy too because he's a very team-oriented player. Yep. Like Bulldogs, a fantastic team. But and they don't need him to be a monster every week.
But I think with potential captaincy coming his way in the next year or two, he'll step up and want to be that man, getting the possessions and drag him to another to a dynasty.
To a dynasty?
Yeah, I'm calling it dynasty right now.
Jesus. If you're a Bulldog supporter, you can add us on Twitter and destroy Jono for just, you'd be, what, ninth next year or 10th? Because the Tigers will finish ninth.
Tigers will finish ninth. So we'll
okay,
be,
so
we'll
you finish 10th.
Yes, a lot of rhetoric over who gets captaincy and who loses captaincy because it always relieves the tension or is going to build to what they can create. So they're always going to get a higher score no matter which way they get it or they lose it. So I'm never really convinced on that. It just captaincies about you're probably already showing the leadership. That's why you get it. Marcus Bontempelli, I reckon, is an absolute ripper of a smoky pick, Jono. I think you'll find his low scores this year were all based around when they were looking for something forward, looking for a tall forward option, and that's when he was scoring between the 60s and the 70s. And I think at one stage, I think it was about round 6 or 7, his actual year average was 66. From there, he's ended up with just under a ton as his average for the Dream Team year, which based on as soon as he went into the midfield, he just belted it out and would have been in the top six for the remainder of the season once he moved back in the midfield. With Travis Cloke there, I think their structure is going to be pretty solid up forward. And I think what they've proven that if they're going to win games of footy, Marcus Bontempelli's in the guts. That's where he'll play and he'll score big.
I like that analogy. Thanks, Statesman.
Oh, look, I mean, it's perfectly reasonable. You know, the forward time was a concern. Obviously, the team's changed a little bit. They've lost a little bit of depth out of the midfield. But we've seen him get tagged a couple of times as well.
Didn't handle it too well,
I didn't think. Sort of the 80 scores. Because he's got a good team around him. He just doesn't need to do it. I mean, I'd prefer him as... It's going to be interesting to see where he goes in drafts because, look, if he's your second midfielder, that's I don't want him as my number one midfielder, and obviously these are our smoky mids.
Yeah.
So you're probably not choosing him as a number one. But
you'd still be happy to have him as a number two midfielder?
I'd really... If he was my number two midfielder, I'd want to have a... I don't think I'd draft him in the first two rounds. I'll put it that way. Yeah. I mean, and I guess that's why he's a smoky because that's where, I mean, I feel like I'd want to draft him in the fourth round and hope he improves on...
That potential risk-reward.
Yeah, I mean, am I going to draft Bont or am I going to draft JPK?
Mm.
I mean, JPK's never... Well, he does go... Well, I mean, I tried putting him forward and... How the hell did that work out, horse?
Not well.
You know, am I going to choose Bon or Dan Hannabury? Dan Hannabury's never going to go forward. I mean, it's just... if I'd like him as my third midfielder, but... Yeah, I mean, he could. But, you know, if sales are choosing a young midfielder, I'd choose... I know you were tossing up when you were deliberating over him or Cripps.
Yeah.
Cripps is... He's a machine. He's never out of the centre square, and they're not going to do it because they've got literally no one else. Whereas the Bulldogs have got better people.
Statesman, who is your smoky pick for fantasy?
Yeah, I've gone for someone that's probably been tagged as a Dream Team pick for quite a few years, but has never really delivered it, and there's been a few reasons. The opportunities of playing senior footy, the opportunities of playing in the midfield. Well, he's got really both of those right now with the move from Sydney Swans to Hawthorn, and that is the wonderful Tom Mitchell, son of a gun, and the boy's going to be a gun himself. His last 2 years, he's averaged 107 and 105, and that's been sometimes playing defensive tag roles and also playing in the forward line as a forward defensive player. Right now at Hawthorn, he is going to be number one or number two midfielder and is going to be in there for the whole season. So we're going to be able to see whether that high ceiling that Tom Mitchell's got is something that he can deliver week in and week out. And this is the type of player, right at the back end of the first round, I would not be ashamed by picking him as my first midfielder if those Dangerfields, Neils and Rockcliffes and Trelaws and Pendlebury's are gone. So Tom Mitchell is my smoky.
Very interesting pick. Just from a few Twitter polls that we've done earlier about where Tom Mitchell's go, it looks like he is going to go first two rounds. But my concern with Tom Mitchell, he's always been that fourth string in that gun midfield at Sydney. Can he stand up to the pressures of being the number one or number two guy at Hawthorn, considering guys like Lewis and Mitchell now, the experienced guys are gone and he's got to carry the team, basically, or carry the midfield.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and I think the finals actually showed us a little bit of what Tom Mitchell's about. I reckon he was probably in the top two midfielders for Sydney during the final series this year, and goes in and gets his own footy, which I think is absolutely fantastic. So I don't think, if the choice is who do we tag at Hawthorn, Jago O'Meara is going to get the attention well before Tom Mitchell does.
Steve, your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I love it. I was actually considering Tom Mitchell myself as my smoky. Is he really? I mean, he was. If I went back and looked at where he was drafted in our listener league this year, it was the first round. People had high expectations for Tom Mitchell last year. I think he's got every opportunity to finish number one. Obviously, I did a little bit of research on people that won X amount of their team's clearances, and basically everyone who got over 15% of their team's clearances was a Jet, yep. Except for Ben Cunnington, because he was never on the park, and maybe a few other reasons. But Ben Cunnington didn't even get 70% game time.
No.
So, I mean, if you're not out there, you can't score.
No,
so, basically, everyone who got over 15% of your team's clearances was a gun in both formats. So, and I don't see any other really good clear. I mean, Liam Shields is a good player. I expect him to have a really good bounce-back year as long as he can stay fit. But Tom Mitchell is the clear number one extractor at Hawthorn now.
Yeah.
I mean, the two questions I guess people can put out there, will he hold up? Will he get more attention? But I love the pick. Love the pick.
Love the pick. So you agree with the statement that the attention will go to Jaeger and Tom Mitchell will do whatever the hell he wants?
I don't think the attention matters. I think there'll be enough volume anyway.
Yeah.
And like you said, he's scored well in roles that aren't suited to scoring well. He's just a ball magnet.
Yeah. Who's your smoky, Steve?
Well, I've actually gone for... I've dug pretty deep, Jono.
Okay.
I've dug pretty deep. And I've gone with a Brownlow medalist.
Ooh, interesting.
Yep. It's the hair.
It's not Gary Ablett.
Bald men everywhere. Like myself. No, it's Trent Cotchin.
Ooh, 2012 Brownlow medalist. I like it.
Yeah, look... Look, it's very unlikely. That's why he's a smoky for myself. But I really think Trent Cotchin's going to have a monster year. Durable. If you're going to finish as a top point scorer, you've got to be on the park. Well, he's played 20 games every season since 2010. Last year he played 20. That was his worst. He's played 21 or 22 every year. So he's always out there. And since his 2012 season, where he won the Brownlow now, he averaged 110 Dream Team and 116 Supercoach that season, which is fantastic. Obviously, there was a little bloke called Gary Ablett going around that year who made everyone else look terrible. But since then, he's been solid, not great. Why, Jono? Why have the numbers dropped? Well, I kind of looked at it, and there's been a change of the Richmond midfield, and they've lost these guys like the really hard edge mids, like your Shane Tuck. We forget how good Shane Tuck was. He was
great,
very good, especially for fantasy. Dan Jackson, probably, you know, he played different roles, but Nathan Foley, another tough midfielder inside. Brett Delidio was up and about at his absolute best.
Yep.
So Trent Cotchin kind of got protected, and he flourished. Well, now they've got Anthony Miles, Dion Prestia, Josh Caddy, Dustin Martin's moved into the midfield. Maybe he goes back forward, we don't know.
Jacob Townsend.
Playing AFL, buddy. Playing
AFL. Sorry.
Okay, so I'm just kind of thinking that there's more guys in there for opposition to focus on. There's a little bit more protection for Cotchin. A few guys to get the ball, feed it out. They can use his sideways kicking skills to great effect. Look, I think Trent Cotchin was a guy getting drafted around round 10, round 12 last year. I think he's going to blow up this year. I think especially in Supercoach, he's a great pick. What do you guys think about that?
I don't mind it. Especially with the human meatball there, taking all that attention, you're going to just see... I think Trent Cotchin's going to do whatever the hell he wants and just gather the possessions, get his little dinky 1-2 handball to kicks. Might go forward, kick a few more goals. We know he can do it. I'd actually like to see it happen next year. And I think it's great as a smoky pick.
I think it all makes sense. There's no doubt about that. I sort of backed him in on his rise. I got the year in Dream Team where he averaged 110 and just thought he was going to be in the top five players for the next 5 to 6 years. It didn't eventuate. So you've got that sort of little bit when you're just about to press that button and draft him. Am I really drafting Trent Cotchin? That'll be going through my mind. Am I really doing it? So I always have that little bit of doubt there. But it all makes common sense with the meatball, with Josh Caddy. They should be doing the hard leg work. You'd think Martin should be the one that they spend more time on. He's the one with the penetrating kick. And Prestia should get some attention too. So there's an argument to say that Trent Cotchin should be freed up and allowed to get a lot more of the footy that he does. But again, it just doesn't compute in my head. And I'll be proven wrong on this one, I know it.
Would you say drafting Trent Cotchin, drafting Mark Murphy, these guys, you Bryce never feel Gibbs. They should be guns and they're the number ones at their team, but they're just not.
Is it due to the fact that they've been in substandard teams all these years?
The Tigers made bloody finals 3 years in a row.
And how did that work out for them?
Well, they made finals 3 years in a row. Well, what can you do?
Yes, Statesman.
A magnet's a magnet. The third lowest team this year was Fremantle, and Lachie Neal was the fourth highest scorer. So you can either get the pill or you can't. A Mark Murphy and a Trent Cotchin have both had the 1 or 2 years of 110 plus, but they haven't been consistently doing it, and that's my concern with them. You know, are we saying they didn't get enough time in the midfield once good players get around them? So it's just this, just that burning little question mark of why they haven't been able to continue this.
Well, anyway, he's my smoky. Maybe he just turns out to be a good draft value.
Quite possible.
But I certainly think he's got the pedigree as a Brownlow medalist to finish number one.
And I've got a suggestion, lads. Jono's got Dangerfield, Bontempelli. I've got Neil and Mitchell. And Steve, you've got Rockcliffe and Cotchin. Why don't we bet a slab of refrigerated tomato sauce on who gets the overall totals combined with Supercoach and Dream Team?
I was hoping maybe a cold slab of Cascade Draft, but
I don't want to be involved because I can see this going horribly pear shaped for me. You bastard's got the best players.
You've got Tom Rockcliffe, that's not bad.
you could win just on Rockcliffe.
That's right. True.
His scores, you could beat the rest.
That's true. Interesting. No is an interesting segue into our next section, Jono. No ruckman mentioned.
No ruckman mentioned, even though we're moving on now to our where to draft a ruck position, considering Max Gawn was the second highest in Supercoach. And
well, 2 years ago, we saw two ruckmen finish 1 and 2.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
In Dream Team scoring.
And you had Gawn and Grundy both up there, and Gawn especially up there in Dream Team as well. So over the weekend, I did a quick list of just the top 15, but I won't read them all out. But my top five in both formats, I got Goldie. For Supercoach, I got Gawn, Goldie, Grundy, Sandy, Source Jacobs. And for Fantasy, I've got Gawn, Grundy, Goldie, Steph Martin, and Source Jacobs as well. For 2017, just a little tidbit for our rankings coming up next year. But drafting a ruckman's hard. It's very hard. And as we've seen it in our league of records, Steve, if you've got the best ruckman, you go a long way to winning your league, because it's sort of a set-and-forget position. Like, if they don't get injured, you know you're going to get a solid score each week and you don't have to worry about it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, if you have the outlier number one ruck, that's fine. But for me, like in Dream Team last year, I was all over Steph Munn. Wanted him everywhere. In Supercoach, I wasn't as keen. This year, I'm not drafting a ruck. I got no interest until late. And I'll tell you why. Is because, and people point out, oh, position scarcity. If you get the guy. We don't see players since Dean Cox has retired repeat as the number one ruckman.
No.
Like, so I've got my top, in both formats, we always draft in tiers. Yes. We always recommend to everyone to draft in tiers. In both formats, I've got a top four. That's my number one tier. Now, let's say the top three are gone and I'm picking at the back end of the second. Maybe I choose whoever's left.
Yep.
Because a point of tiering is you always want the last guy in a tier, because you've got that's who you think is up there. But the second tier, I've just got half a dozen guys who I don't care who I get. And if people are drafting him in round three, then they're not going to draft a second ruckman unless you're in a two ruck league. Look, if you're in a two ruck league, obviously you're drafting a ruckman
pretty early.
Bloody early.
Yeah.
But if I'm in a single ruck league, I just have no reason. Like, let's say in both formats, my top four is Gawn, Goldie, Martin, Grundy. I don't care. Whatever the hell you think it is.
Yep.
Whatever order, that's who I think my tier is. Then I've got Tippett, Jacobs, Mumford, Hickey, Sandy, Lysette. I don't really care who I get.
So you think they're all much the same?
Brody Grundy, he wasn't drafted in leagues last year. He slipped through.
No.
I mean, is there any reason Tom Hickey can't be a gun next year?
There is no reason.
So if I have to spend a top three round pick on Sam Jacobs, I'm not doing it. There's zero chance I'm doing it. Give me
scrub. You can get a midfielder who's better.
I can go get Bond.
Yeah.
I don't need to waste my time picking Tom Hickey in round four when I can go get whoever. Michael Barlow.
Yeah.
Michael Barlow would have been a good one for top point scorer.
Ooh, too
late. Ah, anyway.
What are your thoughts, Statesman?
Yeah, I'm following Steve. The reality is we just don't know what's going to happen. I was a foolish man and drafted Steph Martin at pick number one, which now looks ridiculous. Only he played 20 games and averaged 89 points in Dream Team. That's a long way behind Dangerfield when I could have had him there. It makes a huge difference. So we're talking, almost 1,000 points that I lost just on the one pick. And you're right, you mentioned Dean Cox. It was the last time we could just set and forget structure in the ruck. You just pick your man, you put him in place, and that's it. You're done for the year. You know you've got your number one ruckman in place. We don't know what's going to happen. There's a chance that Jared Witts, who's moved to Gold Coast, could actually be in the top four ruckman. He's shown he can score Dream Team duns. The man could be in the top four, but you could probably get him as your bench cover right now if you did a draft. So it's just smart to make sure you lock away your guns. Make sure if you listen to last week's show that you pick up Delidio as one of your first couple of forwards. You square them away first, and then you look at your rucks. It's almost a lottery, and the case where you've got more and more coaches going for the dual ruck, so the forward ruck options, it burns their scoring. It's the standalones that you want, and the only one I think I would get sucked into in the third round is probably your Max Gawn and your Brody Grundy, but they're just picking, or maybe Goldstein, but they're picking three ruckmen that are generally do it on their own. But you know what's happening with Goldstein. He's slowly getting integrated with the ruck forward. You don't know what's going to happen at the other two clubs. If they change philosophy, then it's a wasted pick. So you're better off take the finger away and pick your defenders, your forwards, and get your smoky mids in.
Yeah, another option along those lines, if they are playing that two ruck combo, we saw it this year with Sydney Swans, with Kurt Tippett and Callum Sinclair. Look to get that ruck forward combination going. I mean, Kurt Tippett, ruck forward, I draft him as a forward. He was averaging 99 in Supercoach before he went down. Then you could say this year with Nick Knapp being down, grab Scott Lyosset as your number one ruckman. Then you got two guys potentially averaging 100 in two lines, and it also gives you a bit of play come by round time. If they're on different rounds, you can bench them, put it moving forward, grab another ruck to stream, grab another forward, etc. It just opens up so many more options for you come those buy rounds.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point, but based on the draft capital you're spending, I mean, look, if I got, let's say, Gawn, Goldie, Martin, Grundy, we're all gone, Jacobs and Tippett and Sandy are gone in our draft.
Yeah.
And Mumford slid through to the sixth round. Now, I'd be interested in Rory Lobb.
Mm.
Okay? He'll probably be ruck forward again, but I don't want to spend a high pick on him. I want to get him in round 19. Mm. You know, that's what I mean. Like, I can't see the value in spend. Like, we've run through 10 names, and you know, Lysette, I mean, he's probably going to be the clear number one ruck at West Coast. Like, if you can get a standalone ruck, they'll generally score pretty well. But finding, like, the Statesman mentioned Jared Witt, he could absolutely be the number one ruck at Gold Coast. Yep. And have a monster season. But Tom Nipples also exists. Like, I think Jared Witt is probably the better the way they'll go. But it's a lottery, and you don't want, you'll get Jared Witt at the back end of your draft. You won't spend anything getting him.
Oh, no, he's probably a lottery ticket.
You'll get Leuenberger at the back end of your draft. One of these guys will blow up, but you won't have invested any draft capital in them. No. Like, if you're getting these guys in round 20 and they don't work out, big deal. Cut them. Gone. Who cares? You can't do that if you drafted him in round 5. Say you drafted Sam Jacobs this year. He was pass.
He was.
Say you drafted Matt Lobe.
And Steph Martin. Exactly the same.
Well, Steph Martin got knocked out, so He finished well. I back Steph Martin to come in again, but it's just, like, we get a lot of people thinking, like, saying that you should draft a number one ruckman overall. Now, if I knew Brody Grundy was going to come out and average 130, then I would draft him number one. But the rucks don't repeat. We've seen that historically over the last 5 years. It's just, to me, it's a waste of pick. I could get Sam Doherty in round 3.
Yeah, I'd love that.
And you would, and you'd be right too.
Yeah.
So I think it actually sounds like we're all on the same page. I was
hoping for a bit more.
No, don't give me the thumbs up. The Statesman's giving me the thumbs up. I think that's terrible. No,
you're wrong. You're wrong.
How many hitouts is Jordan Lewis going to average at Melbourne?
No, they're going to cut the third man up rule.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. That was, what is he thinking?
And I just feel sorry for those that took the punt in the draft this year. You think of how many people would have got a Callum Sinclair, left West Coast, all of a sudden going to be the number one ruck at Sydney, went over there, got cut, you know, dropped only averaged 61.2 in Dream Team. So it's just such a lottery, I reckon. Cut your losses. Unless you can pick up someone sitting there and they've all got the same thought process and you can pick up a potential jet, you know, in those sort of mid 6 to 7 rounds, leave them alone, sort them out later.
Yeah, and what the hell was I going to say?
Digging me then.
Yeah, no, Cal Sinclair got bloody usurped by Richmond's new number one ruckman.
Toby Nankervis. Well, that's an interesting pick. Yes.
Well, look at this. Actually, Steph Martin could end up being a draft gem next year. I've got him in my top tier of ruckman, so I certainly think he can be, I certainly think he's valuable as number one ruckman. Because his average was so injury affected last year,
people overlook it.
He might slide through till the 6th, 7th round, and then I'm fine drafting him. Mm. But again, new coach, we don't know. Archie Smith, blah blah blah.
And also look to see who the club's clear number two is, because the chance of, once Ruckman goes down, you're going to be jumping all over that. Because
that's what the waiver was for.
Oh, that's what the waiver was. But that's just a little tip. Just like try and identify who your clear number two is.
You know, we've basically listed out 10, 11 blokes there. We don't even mention Paddy Ryder. We don't, you know what I mean? Like
Mark Blixavs, a bloke who could actually lose ruck status next year.
Amazing, isn't it? You know, but you can get Zach Smith off the waiver wire. You can get
Reece Stanley
off the waiver wire. You can get X player when they're facing ruckmen are going to get injured. So you can get them to face the bad teams.
And if you are playing that strategy, you play the rotating ruck strategy. It's a matchup dependent. I mean, say you've got Tom Nichols and they're coming up against Gold Coast.
That'd be a bloody interesting match, wouldn't it?
They're coming up against North Melbourne against Goldie. Goldie's just going to dominate those hitouts. Chuck him in the pool. Grab someone else. Grab a Zach Smith who might be playing a Western Bulldogs and generally has scored well against him in the past.
Yeah. Boyd could be in on Ruckman next year.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Hey. How good was his grand final and he barely turned up? Did he turn up?
On the border.
No, I think that wraps it up for the Rucks, to be quite honest with you. It's an interesting thought process, but I don't think you can win all those, especially the two Ruck leagues. That's always going to be a challenge. No matter which way you look at it, I don't think the Rucks are the win, the loss, because there's too many gold mines in there. If you're smart, you can pick a couple out cheaply.
Yeah, absolutely. And, don't panic if you don't get one of those top Ruckmans, because someone will emerge from the pack.
They always do.
They always
do. I'm backing in Tom Hickey.
He's in my top 10.
People won't be on him, but I reckon he'll go well.
And we didn't even mention Cruiser. that wraps up the show for this week. If you'd like to follow us on social media, you can head over to Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, or head over to Facebook, where you just enter The Draft Doctors in the search page, hit the like button there. Or if you'd like to drop us an email, go to thedraftdoctors@gmail.com.
And if you're listening on iTunes, please, please leave a review.
Thank you, and we'll catch you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.